Get connected with WFAN to talk about your favorite teams. The Fan on the Odyssey iHeart and TuneIn app.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. The Fan. WFAN.
Oh, yes. Off and running on a Friday morning. It is your overnight oasis. Gordon Damer with you here. 888-808-1019. The telephone number to jump on board. Lots to discuss. Plenty to get into as we're with you for the next 4 hours. We will have results from round one of our wrestling catchphrase tournament. You can still vote on Twitter on that because I screwed up the timing on the voting pattern. Mistakes were made. Mistakes were made. But we'll have round two, which is the second half of the overall bracket, the other two regions that are still outstanding. So we'll get into that a little bit later on. Our good buddy Rami Lavie is with us tonight in place of Fleegs, who's down gambling his face off in Atlantic City. So Rami, apparently, I don't know that this is true, but I believe that he has finally watched one of the movies, the list of movies that I gave him back in August, September, sometime around there. It was still warm outside. Yeah. But I've heard that he's actually watched one of the classic movies.
You'll have to quiz me.
And maybe we'll get a little review later on. So that'll be fun. And we'll get into the Yankees, the Mets, and the Jets, the Giants. We'll figure out all those different things in the course of the show. But where we got to open up is obviously with the NCAA tournament. March Madness is here. It is college basketball. And, you know, this is viewed as one of the truly great days as a sports fan. When you can plop yourself down on the couch today, or now yesterday, and later today, Friday, and you can watch the first round of the NCAA tournament, and it is wall-to-wall college basketball from the afternoon all the way into the night. The last game just ended, so the first round halfway through, and really Friday is the day that will get more eyeballs, I think, for the New York sports fan, because, of course, St. John's is in action against Northern Iowa. You get Hofstra with their first round game against Alabama. And LIU, Long Island University, also in action. They will be going up against Arizona. That one might get a little ugly, but they're in the tournament. That's an accomplishment. That's no small feat for Long Island University, so good for them. So maybe the attention will be greater later today. But I got to be honest with you. It feels like something's missing with March Madness. It doesn't feel all that madness anymore. It doesn't feel all that wild anymore. It feels like just watching some really high-level college basketball. And I think, now look, this could very well be recency bias. Because last year, the four number one seeds, they were the teams that got to the Final Four, so it felt very chalkish, right? It felt very, it's the David's versus the Goliath, and clearly the Goliaths won. But 2 years ago, we had a number one seed go down in the opening round, so maybe that will happen to, who knows, maybe Long Island University will be able to be the team to knock off Arizona, and oh boy, will people be ticked off at that. A lot of people have Arizona going very deep into the tournament. But it just doesn't feel like that the NCAA tournament is nearly as wild or as nearly as focused on as it's been in years past. And I know other people have brought it up, and I think it's absolutely true. There's a couple of aspects that have kind of turned the focus from where it used to be, where this day, I mean, guys used to schedule their vasectomies for these days. They would be holding off, walking around with a loaded gun, just so they could have a couple of days to sit in front of the TV and rest their, you know, rest their bits and watch a little college basketball. Sorry, sweetie, I can't get up. Had to do a little snip-snip. Maybe now the new thing is guys going off to Turkey for the hair transplant. I'm not sure. But it just feels like that the March Madness level is not up to 11. This one goes to 11. It doesn't feel like it goes to 11 anymore. It's still 7 or 8. It's still fun. And you did, It's not to say you didn't have some moments in day one of the NCAA tournament. And yesterday was day one. Let's forget this. I don't think any actual fan believes that those first four games matter. Those first four games are just to get you back into the habit of finding out where True TV is on your cable system. Where the hell is that True TV? I got the DirecTV. Is it 250? It's amazing how little TV I watch anymore. There used to be a thing where I would come home late at night, I'd scroll around the channels. I don't scroll channels. I couldn't tell you what channels are anymore. And I certainly don't know what True TV is. I watched everything on the stupid app today. Just walked around with my iPad all day. I'm an iPad kid. But you had some moments on day one. Clearly the highlight was High Point getting their win against Wisconsin 83-82. Just an unbelievable scene. Nebraska, their first ever tournament win. Texas takes down BYU. So it was not like it was lacking of upsets, but it does feel like between the transfer portal and NIL that the best teams are kind of bulletproof. And I say that on a day where Duke looked like that they were in trouble, right? Facing off against Siena, facing off against Jerry McNamara's team. And look, if Siena had been able to pull off that win, that would have been the greatest upset in NCAA tournament history. It would have just been the third time a number one lost in the first round. And Siena basically played five guys the entire game. If they had been able to pull that up, now they couldn't hit a shot in the second half. They could not throw the ball in the ocean. As the doggy would say, couldn't throw the ball in the ocean. But it just feels like something is missing. And I think that the transfer portal is certainly part of it. And I think that it feels like with everybody getting paid, look, they should be getting paid. This is big business. This is, I mean, the broadcast rights, the schools are making money. Why shouldn't the players make money? They should absolutely be making money. But I do think that that makes you kind of lose some of the general excitement where it feels like everybody's just mercenaries now, right? Everybody changes from year to year. It feels like everybody floats from year to year. And not just to blame the players, the coaches as well. I point this out all the time. Like for Siena, hey, great job, Siena. You got to the NCAA tournament. You're going to now lose your coach. Just know that. Like all these little schools that go on these and win these games. Who was the team that beat North Carolina tonight? Whoever they were, was that, it wasn't Vanderbilt. Virginia Commonwealth? I think it was Virginia Commonwealth beat North Carolina, who absolutely just vomited all over their shoes. They had a 19-point lead in the second half. So I think that the coach for VCU, he's going to be getting some calls. I also think that Hubert Davis of North Carolina, he's going to be getting a call. It's going to be somebody else is going to be. I don't know what his contract situation is. But look, these little schools, sometimes the worst thing that can happen to you is to have a great level of success, especially in the NCAA tournament, because you just know you're going to lose your coach and you're going to be back at square one. Now, I guess this was probably always the case, but it just feels like more so now that the players are essentially pros, the coaches are constantly moving around, and the best teams feel kind of bulletproof. Like the top four seeds in each of the brackets were all double-digit favorites. Now, they didn't all cover. Clearly, Duke only won by, what was it, 7 or 8? But it feels like this is going to be another year where it's going to be very chalkish. And if that's the case, yeah, you'll get your upsets here and there, but it just does. It feels like it's kind of missing something. 888-808-1019 is the telephone number. 888-808-1019. And also the other thing before we go to the phones is the gambling aspect. You know, it used to be NCAA tournament, bringing everybody together with your office pool, bringing everybody together with, you throw in 10 bucks, all of a sudden you care about college basketball. You know, college basketball has been going on since what, October? Most people, most sports fans have not been locked in to college basketball. They get locked in conference tournament time and then certainly NCAA tournament time. I can't figure out why my bracket is busted. It might be something to do with the fact you didn't watch any college basketball all year long. Yeah, could be always that. Could be that, yeah. I didn't think of that. That's a good idea. But it feels like now with gambling, you can bet on everything. You can bet on everything all the time. So the specialness of the NCAA tournament, it also feels like that's kind of impacted things as well. But maybe I'm just an old head. Want to hear from you. 888-808-1019, the telephone number, 888-808-1019. Let's go out to the phones. We'll start things off with Mike in Stanford. Mike, you're first up on The Fan.
Hey, Gordon, how you doing?
I'm good, Mike. What's going on, pal?
Good. So I would say I totally agree with you about how kind of March Madness has lost its madness. As like a Northeast kind of Duke Homer fan, I was sweating out that game. Mm-hmm. But I think the only way really to end that is you got to have long-term contracts with these guys. You have to have 2-3 year contracts. That way, if they transfer, you can't, you know, transfer to a Goodman major, go for a year, and then go to like a Power Five school. You know, because that I agree, it's ruining the you know, the 12-5, the 13-4 upset. These teams just can't compete because they go for 1 year at a school like Hawaii or a High Point. You know, they average 20 points a game, and then they just transfer to
right. It's almost like a major. Yeah, you know, it's like almost like a pillow contract in Major League Baseball, where you get a 1 year deal with a team, you have your big year like Pete Alonso, and then you cash in the following year.
I mean, yeah, I love it. I love it. I think it's not the same. Those guys that are, you know, the fourth year, fifth year senior at the mid major, the McNeese State kind of thing. You know, we don't see those guys anymore. So it's just a shame. You know, I love college basketball. It's like kind of, you know, the purest sport we have now with everything going on. You mentioned the betting, right? So it's all like even with you know, college football playoff and everything. College basketball, I feel like, is our last stranglehold. It's like, hey, this is pure sport. This is for the love of the game. And I feel like it's kind of getting ruined. So, you know, I would just love the NCAA to make a couple changes. You know, wishful thinking, but
yeah.
Love your show. So.
Thanks, Mike. I appreciate it. Yeah, well, look, the NCAA would probably love to make changes, but they just seem like they have no power anymore. It feels like that they are a bystander to everything that's going on, and it doesn't feel like anybody really has control of anything. So, look, it's not like I hate, like, I like to bet. I like, you know, so maybe I'm as guilty as the next person. I like to be able to sit on my couch. I'm not one of these people. We got to get rid of gambling. Gambling existed already, guys. It's not like all of a sudden FanDuel and DraftKings came up with this. Hey, you know what? We could put together a system where you put your money on the line based on what happens at these. No, betting existed already. It's more prevalent now. It's easier to do now. And I'm in favor of it. I like to put a little money on a game, and the NCAA tournament is proof positive. If you ever want to have your sport gain attention, figuring out a way to have everybody bet on it for just as low, the low price of $10, all of a sudden you have a whole lot more interest in something when your skin is in the game. So I like to bet. I want to see the players get paid. I don't really have a problem with players being able to change schools to a certain degree. I don't think it should be guys floating every single year or like how they have it in college football. This guy's ninth year of college. Carson Beck, who's now 37 years old, still playing college football, feels a little... guy's losing his hair. That kicker on the one... What was it? Ole Miss's kicker? The guy's got male pattern baldness and he's still kicking in the league. It feels a little outrageous. But it does feel like college basketball has lost a little bit of the magic along the way here. Now, I'm sure I'll get into it. And I will say, sometimes upsets are kind of bad for the tournament. Like, it's good in the moment, right? Like, you like to see a team, a 16, an FDU, knock off a high seed, a number one seed, like they did a couple of years ago. But in the end, I do think you want the best college basketball. If you're just watching the product, yeah, the Cinderella is fun to root for, and it's fun to find out the stories of the kids behind it or the coach behind it. But at the end of the day, you really want the best teams matching up in the Sweet 16 and the Elite 8 and the Final Four and all that type of stuff. So maybe not having as many upsets is a good thing. I do think, though, if this is the trend line, And again, it probably is recency bias, as I pointed out before. 2 years ago, you had a 16 knockoff of one, and everybody loved it, and everybody was into it, and nobody was complaining about all chalk all the way. But I do think that if you start to see that those top teams continue to advance, and there's not really any of those top four seeds in any of the... Now, look, one of them is probably going to get picked off here before too long, because you just have so many games thrown at them in a short period of time. But I do think that the conversation of expanding the tournament, which I'd not be a fan of, I do think that that's going to continue, because all of these leagues, all of these conferences, all of these sports, whatever you want to call them, conglomerates at this point, all they look at is more money, more money, more money. And before too long, they've already kind of pushed the envelope with the first four. It's only a matter of time before you get another four or another eight or another 16, or they expand the tournament in some way. Now, in terms of St. John's, I will say this. They go up against Northern Iowa. Heard a lot about Northern Iowa. I've kind of caught up the last couple of days about how great their defense is, especially in transition, how they really take away the three, which is not really part of St. John's game. I will say, for St. John's, after all the complaining that has been going on since Selection Sunday about how they got screwed and how they got robbed and they shouldn't be a five seed and they got a terrible bracket, it's the toughest bracket out there, go out and win some games. Go out and win some games. Like, the difference between being a five seed and a four seed, is it a tough conference? Yeah, it's a tough conference. They're all kind of tough conferences. The best you can hope for is a blowout win against an overmatched opponent in the first round. After that, the way the brackets break down, you're going to have to start playing some real teams. So if it's true that you were, you know, robbed and you were, you know, done so hard done to, go out there, beat Northern Iowa, and then go out and likely have to face off against Kansas. Like, anything short of a Sweet 16 this year is going to feel like a disappointment for St. John's. And you can point to, well, Kansas could very well go to the Final Four. They have an unbelievable team. They're stacked. You know, Bill Self, every single year it feels like he's got a stacked team. Well, you have to beat good teams. Like, every team outside of that opening round, you're going to get a tough opponent. Right, like Vanderbilt is a very popular pick right now based on how they played in their conference tournament and all that type of stuff. And they got a win against McNeese State. I was watching it for a little bit. Boilerplate, right? They won by 10. They now move on. They got to face Nebraska. Now, Nebraska just got their first tournament win, but they're a number four seed. You got to go beat some good teams. It's the same thing in every bracket. If you get an easy game that first round, which I'm not saying that Northern Iowa will be, it seems like defensively they're going to cause problems, although if St. John's can get out with their athleticism, they should be able to control things. But enough's enough about complaint. The best you were going to do was probably a number four. That's probably the best you could do. Now, is it a tough bracket? Yeah. But you're going to have to beat some good teams. It's almost like when I hear about when the NFL schedules come out every single year, and Jet fans, man, look at our schedule. Yeah, you got to play other NFL teams. Everybody's got a tough schedule. And when you're one of the worst teams in the sport, all the other teams are better than you. Yeah, it's going to seem really hard. You can't get to play the Jets. So, yeah, you're going to... Now, this is different because all these teams are good teams. And in theory, at least, with the 3-point being such a factor for a lot of these teams, maybe not so much Northern Iowa, but a lot of these teams, it throws a real potential, you would think, for upsets when you're talking about teams that are not those top three seeds in each of the conferences. But for St. John's, this is now, what, year three for Rick Pitino. And what he's done so far has been fantastic. To go from where they were before he got to there to where they are now in 3 years is fantastic. And hopefully it continues moving forward and he's not going anywhere. I think that he is a guy who's going to coach for a long time. He got, what, his 900th win this year? I would like to think that he's going to be coaching long enough to get win number 1,000. I would like to think so. He's 73 years old. He seems like a coaching lifer. But there comes with that comes expectation. So year three, you made the tournament last year. You were a higher seed last year. You got upset because you couldn't hit a shot last year against Arkansas. This year, let's go see you win a game against Northern Iowa, survive in advance, and then when you go up against likely Kansas, go give it a game where you show that you belong. And then if you want to complain about your seeding, maybe then you can. But to be all these people complaining about the seeding going in, yeah, you're going to have to beat good teams. Facing off against Northern Iowa is not, if you got some matchup in the first round where you're like, oh my God, how are we playing this? This team is way better than a 12 seed. That would be one thing. It's the difference between playing, California Baptist or Northern Iowa. So go out, win a game, and get through the first weekend of the tournament. Because if we're getting through one game again and then getting blown out by Kansas or getting controlled by Kansas, or like it was last year, you can't hit a shot, you can't do anything, and the team that you're playing is clearly the better team, and even the coach admits it after the game, well, then that's going to be a disappointing season for St. John's. That's going to be a disappointing outcome. You know, first year, you get here, Rick Pitino takes over. Year two, you get into the tournament, you win a game, fantastic. But there has to be some progress along the way. And that would be getting to the Sweet 16 this year. Anything short of that for St. John's is going to feel like a disappointment. 888-808-1019 is the telephone number. 888-808-1019. Coming up, we'll get more of your phone calls involved. Lots to do as we take you up until 5 o'clock in the warm-up show. It is Gordon Damer, your overnight oasis, right here on The Fan.